chapter of Hebrews. And while you're turning, I'll pray. Thank you, Lord, for another good day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your watchful care through the many trials of life and the many difficulties of life. I'm thankful that you've been faithful to us. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you provide us with, even in the midst of difficulty and trouble. I pray you'll help us as we look into your word to be strengthened, to be rejuvenated for the battle, for the work that lies ahead. Help us as we look into your word, quicken my mind that I might speak as you'd have us. Quicken the hearers that they would hear from you. We'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This month we're celebrating the coming of Jesus into the world. And I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this holiday that in no way represents the coming of Jesus. I'm aware of that. But I also know that if we don't focus our attention on it sometimes, that a lot of times we won't focus on the coming of Jesus. So I wanted to use this opportunity for a few services to take a look at Jesus, the meaning of His coming, and His message for us. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 1 says, "Long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." The revelation of God to mankind spanned several hundred years from the creation of the world and the creation of man up to sending Jesus Christ into the world as the plan of salvation would be completed. That span of time was several hundred years. And in that time, God was progressively revealing Himself to mankind. The Scripture says in sundry times, or various times, many times, and in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God had revealed Himself. Now, the culmination of the revelation of Himself came with the sending of Jesus Christ into the world. Now, Jesus' primary mission, we looked at Sunday, was to fulfill the plan of salvation. However, in His life and ministry, He was completing the revelation of God to mankind. He was summing up. He was bringing it to completion, well, prepping for the completion. The New Testament church carried out the final revelations of God. But this was God's final chapter of revelation of Himself to mankind. And while that was Jesus' primary mission to fulfill the plan, He also ministered. Now, His ministry was a relatively short time, right? He just had about 3.5 years by most estimate. About 3.5 years, that's a short time to minister. And if you think about all the centuries God had revealed Himself, through a few thousand years God had revealed Himself, Jesus didn't come to set aside God's careful revelation of Himself over the preceding centuries. He wasn't trying to replace that. He wasn't trying to set it aside. He couldn't. Plus, He didn't need to repeat all that had been revealed. Amen? God had already revealed that. He didn't need to repeat all that. He had a short ministry, like I said, about 3.5 years. So, what did He focus on? What was important to Him? And remember, Jesus, our lives a lot of times seem pretty haphazard, right? We do a lot of things reactionary. Things happen, we decide what to do when we get there. God already knew what He was doing. What Jesus taught, how He unveiled the revelation of God through Himself was not accidental. Everything Jesus did was on purpose. Amen? Well, what was important to Him? What did He teach? Well, He taught that He was going to be the sacrifice for sin, right? I mean, that was His primary mission, was to complete salvation. Also, He taught concerning the kingdom of God. We looked at that over a few services earlier in the last few weeks. He taught concerning the kingdom of God. But He also taught concerning how we ought to think and how we ought to live. He had moral teachings. Amen? And His moral teachings seem to me to have had a theme. And that we've been looking at this, it's fresh because we've been looking at this in Sunday school class over the last several weeks. I believe the theme of His moral teachings was be real. I think when Jesus came into the world, it wasn't a bunch of new truth. It wasn't new revelation about what was right and what was wrong. But what he called their attention to was to be authentic, not just fall into. So often, religion becomes a ceremony, a form. Something that we do to appease God or to gain the approval of other people. If you look around you and you look down through history, oftentimes even true religion slips into that. It slips into that form. Even true religion can devolve down into just the ceremonies. Because there are religious duties that we are to perform. Right? We are to read and study. We are to teach. We are to pray. We are to worship. But in both our public and our private duties, we need to take care that we not lose the heart of it. And the heart of true religion is why we do what we do. And that's a danger. Now, if I'm not wrong, Jesus' teaching largely refocused them on the why, refocused them on not just doing, but why they did what they did. Amen? He taught, first of all, that our worship of God be real. Matthew 6:1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." You understand? We have an obligation, duty to give and to help, right? But don't do it in such a way to try and bring glory on yourself, right? He's saying be genuine and that your giving is giving. That your giving is to help, not to bring glory to yourself. Amen? I often think of people donate a little bit different but similar. Donate to colleges, but they want their name on everything that the money might have been spent on. Hey, the people in the church, same way. If they put their money in, they maybe not physically want a sign, but they want it to be known. Our motive in giving is that we're giving it to God for His purposes. Amen? When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, and standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Again, our prayer is to be simply between us and God. Now, we have formal public prayers where we come together and pray, but even then, it should not be for show. Amen? It shouldn't be to attract attention to ourselves. It always ought to be talking to God and asking Him for what we stand in need of. Amen? Again, Jesus, now there's nothing new here about giving or about praying, right? What he is getting at is the motive behind it. You know, everything we do religiously, even if it's commanded of God, we can do out of selfish motives. And that destroys it. Amen? What are you saying? Be real. Be real in your giving. Be real in your worship. Be real in your prayers. Our lives are not just to be lived in a performance, but rather lived out of good intentions and motives. It isn't just to be what we do and what we don't do. It's supposed to be something that comes from a heart. Jesus never relaxed the demands of a holy life. Now, he countered some things that people had added to his word, but he never relaxed the demands of a holy life. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 17, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And whosoever shall therefore break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, were the scribes and Pharisees careful or sloppy in their observation of God's commandments? Well, we all know they were very careful in their observation of the outward commandments, right? They were very careful in everything they did in an outward observation. But he said that ain't what cuts it here. And then he went on and expanded that in the next several verses. Verse 21, he says, "You've heard it said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. Whosoever say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave your gift there before the altar. Go thy way. Be reconciled to thy brother first, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." You know what he's saying? We better carry a charitable attitude towards others. He said, you've heard don't kill, or you're going to, which, that's a commandment, right? Thou shalt not kill, and there was a judgment pronounced on that. But he's saying, get rid of the attitudes and the problems. He's saying, if you know you're crossways with your brother, don't come worship. Take care of the matter. Amen? As much as lieth within you, take care of the matter. He said, agree with your adversary. Don't carry a chip on your shoulder, because it may just happen you don't win that fight. And you could end up in trouble. He's saying, as much as you can, make effort to get along with people, right? Take care, especially of things that are your fault, that are causing interruption to the relationship, right? He said, if your brother have aught against you, that means if he has something, go clear it up. Take care of it. Amen? You've heard it said of them, verse 27. You've heard it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever looks on a woman and lusts after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it's profitable that for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. It's been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. He said, don't just worry about the outward acts, but take care of what's in your heart. Amen. Again, he's saying, be real in it. Don't just restrain evil in your life. Take care of what's on the inside. Verse 33, again, you've heard it said old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's own, nor by the earth, it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. He's saying don't have to put an oath to something for people to know you're saying the truth. Amen? Speak the truth all the time. He's saying don't swear by God or by anything else lesser than that, or even by yourself. He just said, let your yes be yes, your no, no, say, speak the truth, amen, all the time. You've heard it been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give unto him that asketh thee. From him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren over only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It's a different attitude, not just strict justice, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But we can afford to be giving because we have a Heavenly Father that looks out for us, right? We don't have to hold a hard line on everybody in everything. Amen? We can give a little extra. We can go a little bit farther. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. Just, he said, don't hate your enemies. Pray for them. Be different. Who we are on the inside is important. One of the biggest problems with religion today is we've got a bunch of people who have adjusted their lifestyle somewhat, but they haven't adjusted their who they really are on the inside. How we think. What we value. I mean, that's what Jesus told the Pharisees, and they were very meticulous about their outward life. But he said, Matthew 23:23, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin, and you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This salvation that Jesus came to bring us is to change us from the inside out. And I mention that because I believe in our Western culture today, so much of religion has devolved into a form. They know the right things to say. They maybe even know a lot of the truths to preach concerning salvation. Even in holiness circles, oftentimes, people ain't cleaned up on the inside. This salvation was to change us. Jesus, John 3:3 says, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We're to experience a new birth. That means we're to be radically changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, everything has become new. This salvation that Jesus Christ brought us is to change us, not just make us religious. And I'm frustrated with that because I see lots of people who are religious and not enough people who have really been changed. And they perform their outward duties in varying degrees. Some pretty lax on the outward duties, some pretty strict on the outward duties, but a lot of times the heart's not a lot different. Amen? Why they do what they do, they're not doing it just to please God, just to please Him. They're not doing what they do because they believe this is what God would have us to do. They haven't had their heart changed from selfish to loving others and loving God. I don't know if you got any of what I seen. It felt a little bit hollower coming out than what it did in the study. But in the study, the challenge was to me to be real. You know, just like the coming of Jesus is not just a story to be told. For most people, that babe in the manger and the telling of the story and the wise men and the shepherds, it's just a story. It fits in its place with Santa and the elves and everything else. Really, in our Christmas season, across our land and country, it's just a story to most. And I fear too often, even those in church, religious people, it's become just a story to be told. But this is real. Jesus Christ, the very God of creation, came into creation to bring salvation. Amen. The revelation of the true and living God. And our challenge is to live out the reality of His coming and of His great salvation. Especially now, when your ordinary means of grace have been disrupted. And by that I mean coming to church regularly, all the things we've gotten used to, the extras that go with church, really not there anymore. It's easy to just fall into a form because there's not a lot of accountability, frankly, except to God, which is the only one that counts anyhow. And that's what I really want to remind us of. Let's be careful. We come into the Christmas season. It ought to be a lesson to us. Look around and see how many people this is just a story to. Look around and see how many religious people don't give evidence of wanting to please God in everything, all the time, in every situation. I mean, sincerely wanting their life to be pleasing to God in everything, all the time. Let's take that as a warning. Jesus Christ, and one of the things He focused on in His short ministry over and over was pulling us back to reality. Beware of the form of religion. Beware of getting caught up in the motions of religion. Beware of just being satisfied that I do this, I don't do that, I do this, and I don't do that. Beware of being satisfied with that. Challenge ourselves to maintain the reality of a changed life within. Amen. So that all, yes, he told the Pharisees. He said, you're real careful about these things. And he said, you left off the important stuff. And he said, get the important stuff, but don't give up doing the other stuff. He said, you ought to be focused on the important stuff, but don't leave the other stuff undone. Jesus wasn't saying these things aren't important. What he's saying was they follow. They're not the heart of it. I've often said that. The heart of true Christianity is a burning desire to be pleasing to God in everything. That's the heart of true Christianity. That we want His fellowship, we want His companionship, we want His approval on our life, and we want to be pleasing to Him in everything. We want to really know Him. I know some people pick up with that and then believe that how you live the rest of your life don't matter. Well, yeah, it still matters. All of it matters. We're still called to be careful in how we live, right? But that ought to be what follows. Amen? Our worship ought to be what follows a real experience. It ain't coming in trying to create that, but it's an expression of what's already there. I don't know if you got anything out of this or not tonight, but when I looked at it, when Jesus came, He was just saying, hey, this thing's real. Let's be real. He challenged people in their heart where they're really at. Not just be good people, not just be religious, but challenge them to really have the goods and be what God would have them to be. Amen? Amen.